In prehistoric times, the Italian peninsula was rather different from how it is now. During the Ice Age, for example, the sea level was several hundred feet lower, and the islands of Elba and Sicily were connected to the Italian mainland. Historical records start with the Phoenicians, who established colonies over 3,000 years ago. The history of Sicily has also been influenced by Greeks, Romans, Vandals, Islam, Normans, and the Spanish. The indigenous people of Sicily, long absorbed into the population, were tribes known to the ancient Greek writers as Elymians, the Sicani, and the Sisuli, or Sicels, from which the island derives its name. Sicily was also later known by the Romans by its Greek name, Trinacria. The ancient symbol of Trinacria is the head of Medusa, overlaying three legs, conjoined at the hips, and flexed in a triangle. Today, Sicily is an autonomous region of the Republic of Italy, has its own distinct culture, and is both the largest region of modern state of Italy and the largest island in the Mediterranean Sea. This image is said to be of actual hair from the beard of the Prophet Muhammad. The red hair, said to have been shaved from Muhammad's face by his barber Salman in the presence of Abu Bakr, Ali, and several other witnesses. Individual hairs were later taken away, but the beard itself is kept protected and on display in a glass container. Starting after the age of 40, the Prophet Muhammad began to dye his graying beard red to gain a more youthful appearance, as the Prophet Muhammad himself was reported to have naturally red hair when he was young. This helps to explain why millions of Muslims today, some being of sub-Saharan African origin with black hair, also dye their beards with red henna. The same way that DNA evidence has demonstrated that about 99% of modern day Egyptians are not genetically related to the blonde and red-headed pharaohs, the vast majority of Muslims today have no ethnic relation to the Prophet Muhammad, yet still dye themselves with red henna out of respect, tradition, imitation, and religious reasons. During her lifetime, Aisha, Muhammad's wife, gained the epithet Humaira, a word which has been translated as light, reddish, or fair, but whose meaning can be most accurately rendered as blonde. Abu Bakr, the father of Aisha, and thus the father-in-law of Muhammad, was the first caliph of Islam in 632 AD to 634. He was slenderly built, white-skinned, and when his ginger beard started to gray, he also dyed it with red henna. Caliph Ali, in 656 to 661 AD, a first cousin and son-in-law of Muhammad, was also renowned for his blonde hair, as were his descendants who founded the Shiite branch of Islam. Indeed, there appears to have been a blonde element amongst the leadership of the Arabic peoples from the very earliest times. Thus, the distinguished Harvard anthropologist Carlton S. Kuhn has noted when referring to the population of the Yemeni plateau, quote, "The Nordic-looking people are usually confined to the social stratum from which civil officers and religious men are drawn, and it is more than a coincidence that the acknowledged descendants of the Prophet are lighter skinned and show greater evidence of blondism than the rest of the population. There may perhaps have been a Nordic strain associated with the holy families who entered this region from the Hijaz in the early post-Islamic times." End quote. Professor C.S. Kuhn also has stated that amongst the peoples of Morocco, quote, "the ordinary city Arabs are little different from their pastoral and agricultural brethren, but this rule does not apply to the aristocratic families." It would also appear that many of the numerous and diverse rulers of Moorish Spain appeared racially Nordic. The Spanish historian Enrique Sordo informs us that, and I quote, "most of the caliphs were fair or ginger-haired with blue eyes, which seems to show a preponderance of Berber or Germanic blood. This trend towards blondism began with the very first independent Muslim ruler of the Iberian Peninsula, and from whom some other European royals share their genetic ancestry." According to a study by one of the top genealogical publishers of the world that has provided authoritative genealogical records of historical families for more than 190 years, Queen Elizabeth is a descendant of Islam's Prophet Muhammad, specifically his 43rd great-granddaughter. A release by United Press International dated October 10, 1986 says, "Muslims in Buckingham Palace. Mixed in with Queen Elizabeth's blue blood is the blood of the Muslim Prophet Muhammad, according to Burke's Peerage, the genealogical guide to royalty. The relation came out when Harold B. Brooks Baker, publishing director of Burke's, wrote Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher to ask for better security for the royal family. Quote, "the royal family's direct descendant from the Prophet Muhammad cannot be relied upon to protect the royal family forever from Muslim terrorists," he said. Probably realizing the connection would be a surprise to many, he added, quote, "it is little known by the British people that the blood of Muhammad flows in the veins of the Queen. However, all Muslim religious leaders are proud of this fact," end quote. Brooks Baker said the British royal family is descended from Muhammad through the Arab kings of Seville, who once ruled Spain. By marriage, their blood passed through to the European kings of Portugal and Castile, and through them to England's 15th century King Edward IV.
Good catafi. Good. من آل هاشم من آل النبي هاشمي ازاي طب ام الملك ما طلعتش مسلمه ليه لانه اصل الهاشمي ده ساب الاسلام.
The people known as Moors today are an offshoot of the Berber people, the native population of North Africa, especially around the Atlas Mountains. When Arabs conquered North Africa in the 7th and 8th centuries, one of the first people to convert were the white Berbers, who helped the Arabs in their spread of Islam until they reached the Atlantic. From there, they conquered the Iberian Peninsula, southern France and Italy, and the island of Sicily. After centuries of Islamic political suppression, sub-Saharan African slave trading, and race mixing, the current Berber populations look much different. But that is the case across the world, such as Ethiopia, where modern sub-Saharan African mixed populations no longer resemble the fabled blonde angels of legend that built the stone churches of Lalibela, with their swastikas and Templar crosses still on open display. Or Mesopotamia, where all statues of ancient Sumerian nobility have blue eyes, as do the statues of ancient Egyptian pharaohs. Or in Asia, where we find thousands of statues of Buddha that no longer resemble the actual Gautama Buddha, which ancient Buddhist texts clearly describe as a blue-eyed, blonde Aryan. So modern India is not the same civilization as the Aryans of thousands of years ago that introduced horses to India, introduced Sanskrit to India, and introduced swastikas to India. No, the Moors were not ethnically sub-Saharan African, They did buy, sell, and own sub-Saharan African slaves, however, a business that still thrives until today in Islamic North Africa.
Look at my head. You'll see the scar. That's where they hit me with an iron rod.
Jean came to be a victim of a well-organized human trafficking syndicate in Libya. He says he was sold four times and that slave traders bought him for between 400 and 500 euros.
He took me and he went to sell me in another part of town. We were brought to Brac to work. We were slaves to a whole neighborhood. They didn't ask us whether we were hungry or thirsty. They didn't ask us anything. When we would remove weeds in peanut fields, we worked without getting up. Two people died right in front of me. The captors would hit someone, the person would cry out, and then they would die.
We have brothers who are still imprisoned over there. When they kidnap you, they beat you and torture you.
This migrant is one of more than 100 women who was captured pregnant. According to her, captors are more violent with the darker-skinned migrants.
Black skin is a commodity in Libya. We're sold at cheap prices like chickens. I was sold, and I was still pregnant at the time.
According to the UN, nearly 390,000 migrants from 40 different countries remain trapped there.
You're looking at a map of Paleolithic Europe, the dots representing archaeological sites with specimens similar to the original Cro-Magnon discovered in the Basque regions of Europe. Genetic analysis has shown that the original Berbers are among the direct descendants of Cro-Magnon. That said, genetic sequencing of 28,000-year-old Cro-Magnon-like remains in Italy show that the archaic DNA has remained static and unchanged for close to 30,000 years. This means that Cro-Magnon was a fully modern individual, resembling many white European, primarily Rh-negative populations, as well as showing a Caucasoid presence in North Africa since the Pleistocene, or Ice Age.
Did you know that 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons? At least 9 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, James Monroe, John Jay, John Hancock, Paul Revere, John Paul Jones, and James Otis. Later on in 1870, out of Freemasonry came a higher order of Masons called the Shriners. Now, the difference between Masons and Shriners is that to be a Shriner, you must be a Master Mason in good standing. Now, those of you who don't know anything about this, just hold your seats. I'll get back to you in a second. A Shriner belongs to the ancient Arabic order of the nobles of the mystic shrine. But wait, what kind of language is that? And all their temples or mosques are named after cities like Mecca, Medina, Syria, Aleppo. These are all parts of the Muslim world. So Arabic is in their name to describe the nobles. And a noble is a hereditary class that has special social political status in a country or state. And all white Shriners have an exalted or noble political and social status in America and nations throughout the world. Now they talk about this mystic shrine, meaning that there's some mystery attached to the shrine itself. And what is a shrine? It's a sacred place of worship associated with a holy person or a holy event, a container for sacred relics such as the bones of a saint, the tomb of a holy place, p- person or other revered figure. Well, who is the saint that is entombed in the shrine? Oh, boy. Who is that holy person whose bones are in that shrine? It's not just the bones of an architect of King Solomon's temple. No, that's cheap stuff. This holy person is now entombed in mystery, meaning that there's a secretive knowledge of that tomb that is only given to those who are master masons. These people are called Muslim shriners or Muslim sons. And if you notice all the shriner temples, you see that crescent, that star with a sword over it. You think they don't know Islam? This holy person was hit in the head by three ruffians. Jubilah, uh-huh. Jubilo, yeah. And Jubilum. Uh-huh. And when he was hit in the head, he was carried to the north country. That's right. And buried in a shallow grave. His name is Hiram Abith. Yeah. Hiram in Hebrew means a noble one. He was a noble. He was a holy person, and in the story they put him to death, and they buried him in the North Country. The white masons and shriners have always known the secret from Europe to America. In Europe, a Freemason understands the degrees and what it is to be a master mason. They know something of the African origin of civilization, the advancements in Egypt, and the great architectural genius of the black man. The fez that the shriners wear is the fez of the Moors. And the tassel on its top is tied down. It was not allowed to swing a full 360 degrees because they only had 33.
That was Louis Farrakhan speaking, and much of his Masonic understanding seems to come from Prince Hall Freemasonry, a primarily African-American member organization started by Albert Pike, a 33rd degree Freemason, author of Morals and Dogma, and also believed to be instrumental in forming the KKK. The letter K, incidentally, is the 11th letter of the English alphabet, making the three Ks add up to 33. Now, Hiram Abith is presented in Freemasonry as the chief architect of King Solomon's Temple. And in the Old Testament, there are three separate instances of people named Hiram that were involved in the construction of the Temple of Solomon. He was also said to be from Tyre, a Phoenician city where modern-day Lebanon is. The Phoenicians were not sub-Saharan African, as even Europe itself is named after Europa, a Phoenician princess. My name is Robert Sepper. Thank you for joining me. I'm an anthropologist. I appreciate your open mind with a sometimes controversial subject. Please share. Please subscribe. Please have a nice weekend, and I will see you next time.